hold the harvest as you've called me to pastor. You've called me to teach and preach. And Lord, I pray your word says in all you're getting, get understanding. Jesus, you said, learn of me. And Lord, we study to show ourselves approved unto you, not to impress man in any way, shape, or form. So I give my tongue to you. I give my thoughts to you. And I give my utterance to you for your glory. And I welcome the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name to the office I've been anointed and appointed to. I am so grateful for the call of God. And Lord, with you, I have everything. Without you, I have nothing. And so I yield to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let's go to 2 Thessalonians 2:1-7. And it says, now I beseech you, brethren. And remember, Paul was writing this letter because there was trouble at that time. People had came and wrote letters and they in his name and, you know, and given words as well, words of knowledge, words of prophecy that Jesus had already come. Amen? So Paul is bringing order where there's disorder as well. And remember the context of what he's talking about here, because last week, we looked at the scripture of the catching of the away of the church in 1 Corinthians 4:16-17. Maybe we'll just pull that up for a second and then we can go into this because this is the context of these scriptures that we're looking at as well. 1 Thessalonians 4, sorry, 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. All the dead from Adam until Jesus will rise from the ground. Now, then we which are alive and remain, that would be us, Christians, amen, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Next scripture. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So that should be comforting to us. Amen? Now, let's go to 2 Thessalonians 2:1-7. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering unto him. So there's the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gathering unto him. Remember? Okay. That ye be not shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there shall be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Okay, who's he talking about there? That's right. So he's going to be revealed, right? Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things, and now ye know that withholdeth he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doeth already work, and only he who letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now there's a mystery of iniquity. We can never figure out sin. There's a mystery of salvation. We can never figure out the whole salvation plan because we live in faith. And as we live in faith, God reveals his salvation plan to us as we stay in faith. And the mystery of iniquity, we always think it's going to go one way and it ends up going another, right? And so we can't, you know, it's, but we have the answer is Jesus. The answer is God. Amen? So remember that. And verse 1 says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. Two events here are mentioned in this portion of Scripture. Rapture and return, coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering unto him. That ye, okay, verse 2, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Meaning he's already come, okay? Because people were, you know, were writing letters and doing things, okay? So Paul is, you know, telling them not to be moved by a false teaching that Jesus has already returned. Not by spirit, okay? By a prophetic word, you know, prophecies. By word, those claiming to have a word from the Lord that he's already come. By letter, as if it was from Paul. Someone wrote a letter claiming prophetic things and signed Paul's name to it, which is totally deceptive and false teaching. And verse 3 says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, that word there, in other translations too, it also says departure. And so keep in context what he's talking about. The church is going to be extracted from the earth, the catching away. And so there's a departure there. And different scholars say that that word should say departure, okay? Now, either way, anyway, we should have said departure. So, and remember, church organizations have a form of godliness and they deny the power as well. And there has been a falling away over a period of time. People that great revivals have started through have faded out. And they're not holding up the bloodstained banner like they used to. They're not believing that you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And they're dead. They're not alive in the Spirit. Amen? And a lot of them are closing up. But, you know, this is what the Lord is saying. We need to belong to the Lord and be vibrant in our spirits. Amen? In the things of the Lord. By letter, and he was saying, if somebody writes you a letter claiming and sign Paul's name to it as an apostolic authority or teaching, verse 3 says, let no man deceive you by means, for that day shall come except there be a falling away of the man of sin. Now, and it could be, also, you know, we follow God. We don't follow man. Amen? And that's one thing about sheep. They follow. Amen? But we follow the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He says we won't go to the voice of a stranger. We'll follow the Lord. Amen? And that's who we follow. And where does he lead us? He leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Amen? So we're following the Lord. And remember, you know, I touched on this last week, political power, you know, the government's always trying to take the place of God. Rome, Egypt, what do we hear all the time? One world order, right? That means one world order, meaning they want to restore the way that we think and the way we should do things. But we do things the way God called us to do them. Amen? So, you know, and right now they're working on what they call a great reset. You know, by 2030, resetting everything. And I believe, you know, this is a precursor towards the mark of the beast, which is the man's system of the world following that, which rejects God, right? The spirit of Antichrist. Amen. And it's against the things of the Lord. And if you don't follow and believe the way we believe in the world, we hate you. You're prejudiced. You're racist. Hello, somebody. These are all these things that are going on. And they also call the things that are evil good. And the things that are good evil. So everything, you know what I mean? Now, you know, the early church turned the world upside down. Right now, the Lord's trying to turn the church upside right. Hello? Because the church is compromised. Hello? We've become, you know, the Bible says, Paul said, I became all things to all men that some might be saved. You know, we accommodate for salvation as well. But we don't accommodate for the devil to come in and run the church. Jesus is still the head of the church. He started out, in the upper room as the head of the church, and he's going to finish as the head of the church. And if you lose your head, what's going to happen? You're going to get in trouble. And if you become spiritually blind, the blind lead the blind. And where do they end up? In the ditch. That's right. So we got to follow the Word of God and what the Word of God says. Amen? And the son of, you know, the son of perdition is who? The lawless one. Okay? The Antichrist. Look at the world right now. Look at the governments right now. They're not even following the laws that they set in place. You know, the Lord told me a few weeks ago, you're experiencing lawlessness. I said, what's going on? And he spoke to my spirit and said, you're experiencing lawlessness. There's no laws. Even the laws that are set, you know, we vote people in to protect us of our constitutional rights, and they're not even doing that now. Hello, somebody. So they're trying to dictate. Well, when there's control, where's that? Where there's confusion, brother shall rise against brother. Have you noticed there's a division now in the world against people? Hello? Well, who's always the one at the root of division? That's right. So you don't need to look too far to see where this is going. And this is a precursor, my friends. Okay? And that's the, you know, this is the root that's taken. The spirit of Antichrist, it's at work now. He's not having his full way, and I'll show you that in a minute. But you see, our government is upon his shoulders. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. He governs our heart. That's why Jesus came. Unto you a child is given. Unto you a son is given. Why? So you can become a child of God and you can walk into sonship and he'll govern from your heart. And he'll govern the royal priesthood, the holy nation, the blood-bought church, the Christians. Amen? So he governs us. Man doesn't govern us. I remember young in ministry, the Lord woke me up in the middle of the night. And he burned a scripture into my spirit. He said, you're bought with a price. Be not the servants of man. I'll serve God before I serve man. Amen? And if man's making me do things that are ungodly, I will not serve man. I will serve God. We're in a win-win situation, my friends, no matter what. Hello? You see, people are selling out, you know, seriously. They'll just believe everything and follow along. You know, you can't even get people to work now because the government is, oh, I love the government. Here, give me more money. Okay, I don't have to work. I don't have to do nothing. Hey? God's called us to be productive. Amen? And we see the whole world has a socialist agenda to it. You know what socialism wants? They want everything you have but your job. You didn't get that, did you? They want everything you have but your job. And it's true. Okay, but it's a controlling thing that brings you into bondage. Anyway, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And we know, what temple is he talking about here? When you see the temple being restored in Israel, that's the temple that they're talking about. Satan is going to be called Sodom and Gomorrah one day. It's going to be called Egypt, Sodom one day. And that's where Satan is going to, he still wants to be worshipped. And he's going to set up in Jerusalem one day to be worshipped. Okay? And that's where all the roads are leading to. Amen? Remember the little country of Israel, the God of Israel. It's 30 miles wide, 300 miles long. It's like Vancouver Island. Hello, somebody. But God's the God of Israel. Amen? You know, we need to keep an eye on you know, Israel. That, you know, that's, it's the plumb line of everything that's happening around us. We can see what's going on in the world by that as well. Showing himself. So we know that this is what's going to happen, right? He's going to set himself up as God, but we know he's not God. just like he roams the boat as a roaring lion. He's not a roaring lion. Amen? He makes a lot of noise. He says a lot of things, but he's not a roaring lion. Amen? And he's not God. He already fell once. He tried to set himself up into heaven, remember? And he was cast out. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall as lightning from the sky. Amen? He was cast down because his thoughts were contrary to God's thoughts. And that's what happened. And there's no turning back. You see, he's a perverter of truth and he still wants to be worshiped. Amen? Now, go to Revelation 13, 15 to 18. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. See? So this is during tribulation. After the church is extracted, people will be murdered, killed during tribulation that won't worship him. And this will be in mid-tribulation. So, you know, these are Christian martyrs during the tribulation time. And he causeth all. See, this is in the future. We're not here. We're extracted from the earth. And he causeth all, small, great, rich and poor, free, bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save that he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for the number of a man, and his number is 666. So the mark of the beast is man's system, okay? You notice, okay, when you get vaccinated now and they put your vaccination pass on your phone, they know everywhere you go now. And I'm not saying that's the mark of the beast, but I'm saying it's a precursor. I'm not saying the vaccination is the mark of the beast, but I'm saying it's a precursor to it. Okay? Because then you get vaccinated, you know, and you get vaccinated twice, and then the boosters come out, and you don't get the boosters, and the vaccinations are void. Amen? So then it's come into control. But now, then there's social, you know, they can see where you are socially everywhere you go because you're using your vaccination pass. Hello, somebody. They can track you. And I'm just saying this is leading towards that. I'm not saying it is. Amen? They've been using this in other countries already. You know? Hello, somebody. And he causeth all, both great and small, rich, poor. Amen? These things. He causes them. See? We're not being forced, right? The mark of the beast system, so then there's a social scoring system as well. We can hear about that coming down, can't we? Then you know, if you jaywalk, they can see that you jaywalked. And, you know, you're not paying your bills. They can see that as well. So then there's a social tracking device. And that social tracking device is medical. That social tracking device is spiritual. Hello, can tell whether you go to church or not, what you do, where you go. That social scoring system, it's physical, wherever you go, whatever you do, who you do it with. That social system is financial as well. Hey, it tells how much you spent, where you spend it. Amen, it's okay, we're not going to be here for this. And after all, you know, all the shots and all the boosters, you know, people develop a trust in the government and in the enemy and in the system, unbeknownst to them, because the rulers of the world and the kings of the earth are following the God of this world. Hello? Amen? What did Jesus call Herod? You old fox. You tell that old fox. Amen? And what did he say about Satan? The ruler of this world comes, but he what? He has nothing in me. Amen? You know, because he wasn't following the system. See, Jesus didn't come to fix the system. He came to fix us. Amen? Hello? He didn't come to deliver the system. He came to deliver us from the system. Remember that. Because everybody wants the world. The world's not going to get any better. It's on a course. It's on a prophetic course. And we pray for things to be done right. And we're the plumb line of truth. And we're the restraining order on the enemy. And that's why it says he will not be able to do what he wants to be doing until he's taken out of the way. That's the Holy Spirit in the church. When the church, we're the restraining order upon the enemy right now. We're the salt of the earth. You remove salt from meat, and what happens? It goes bad. The world's going to go bad when the salt of the earth is removed from the earth. And the restraining order, it says when he is removed, that doesn't mean the Holy Spirit's still going to be here, but the church is going to be removed, and the restraining order inside of the church, the Holy Spirit church, the holy nation, the royal priesthood, will be removed from the earth. So that restraining order will be removed. And then it goes into another, the church age ends, okay? And then tribulation starts, okay? That doesn't mean we're not going to go through things. The early church, we're going to grow. We're going to have a revival before we go. Amen? I believe that. The latter rain shall be greater than the former rain. The former rain was the church when it was birthed in the upper room. God poured out his Holy Spirit upon them. And what they do, they followed the Lord. They followed the direction of the Lord. They preached Christ crucified. There's no other name given under heaven whereby a man must be saved. They went out and preached, and Jesus confirmed their word with signs, wonders, and miracles. And the latter rain shall be greater than the former rain. But the latter rain, okay, the former rain, what happened in the former rain? Who were they oppressed by? Who were they attacked by? The religious system of the day, right? And the government. Who are we starting to be oppressed and set up and attacked by? The religious system, the political system, which is becoming a religious system, my friends. If you don't think the way we think, we hate you. Hello? And, you know, and it says, brother shall rise against brother, kingdom against kingdom. And what happened when the early church was oppressed and pressured? It grew. Because God had to show up and deliver his people over and over and over again. And while he was doing that, there were signs, wonders, and miracles, and people were being saved. But some people have a preconceived idea of how this end-time revival is going to be, and I just say, God be God. And let me be ready to move whatever way you want me to move. Amen? And we need to be prepared to meet the Lord, and we need to prepare people to meet the Lord. It's not just us four and no more. Hello? We're called to minister to people. You know, that's what we're called to do. And so these are just things that I'm showing you that are happening right now. But sometimes we can just accept things and roll along with it. Amen? And we need to be careful at one time as well. Amen? Because everything Satan does fails anyway, and his plan falls to pieces anyway. Now verse 5 to 7 says, remember ye not that when I was with you yet, I told you these things. So he'd already told them these things that were going to come to pass. And now ye know that withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doeth work already. Only he who now letteth will until he be taken out of the way. And that's the manifestation of the power of the Holy Ghost through the church. When the church is gone, right, the bride of Christ is gone, the manifestation of the power of the Holy Ghost won't be moving through the church anymore. But he'll still be the agent of the earth saving souls. Hello? A lot of people will be saved after the church is gone. Amen? An innumerable number of people will be saved. Backsliders are going to come. You know, some of us are worried about our loved ones because they're not serving the Lord. And some of us are, you know, we got one foot in the church and the other one on a banana peeling. And when the rapture comes, you'll know exactly where you are. Hello? And Jesus is coming. Whether we're ready or not, he's going to come, and we need to be ready to go be with the Lord. Amen? And if we're left behind, then, you know, I'm going out on the first flight. Amen. Amen. And it says, for the mystery of iniquity doeth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. So the Holy Spirit is he who is the restraining one through the church, the body of Christ. So eschatology, right, can have its way when the body or the bride of Christ and when the church is taken out of the way through the rapture, okay? Then he'll be revealed. Then, because there's a time, there's a restraining order. Amen? And even God says, you know, look at Jesus came. He was right on schedule. I put the scripture in to share it with you. God's never in a hurry. God's always on time. Amen? And it says in Galatians 4:4-7, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. There is a fullness of a time. Amen? And what did Jesus say? Upon this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So as long as we're on the earth, the church is on the earth, the blood-bought church of God, and God, upon this rock I shall build my church. He's building his church. Satan can't overcome the church because Jesus said he can't. Upon this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So he can't do what he wants to do until the church is gone. And we're not gone. Hello? People are afraid and they don't know what's going on, but you need to read the Bible and find out what's going on. Amen? And also Jesus said, remember he gave the 70 power and authority? Well, he gave us that same power and authority. Remember he sent the 70 out? He said, in my name, go out. And what he said? And behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt. See, the church has power over the enemy. We're not serving the enemy. We're serving Jesus. We have authority over him. When he attacks us, we take authority in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hello? Amen. The only authority he has is what we give him. Hello? That's the truth. And deception wouldn't be so deceiving if it wasn't so deceptive. And that's all he has is deception, and he moves by the speed of thought. And that's why when our thoughts are contrary to God's thoughts, we need to cast them down. Who's attacking us when our thoughts are all messy? That's not God, it's Satan. He's the author of confusion. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Amen? And so God brings peace, the enemy brings confusion. So where there's confusion, you need to utilize the authority and the power that God gave you. Some of us are just lazy and don't utilize the authority and power. Some of us just talk about where the devil has us all the time instead of standing up and say where Jesus has us. Jesus has us in victory. Jesus has us in healing and health. Jesus has us in salvation. Amen. Hallelujah. In him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being. So I want to stay in him. I am the vine, ye are the branches. Without you, without me, you can do nothing. I acknowledge that. I'm going to stay close to Jesus. He's the vine. He's the source that I need to produce fruit. I don't know it all, you know, but I know what he shows me as I move along with him. And he's been good to me. He's been faithful to me all these years. He's proved himself faithful to me. Is there things that I went through that I didn't want to? Oh, yeah, there's a lot of them. I got a list of testimonies. But I overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. And I'm going to continue to overcome. Amen? And we need to continue to stand in the name of Jesus Christ. We need to be the plumb line of truth before everything that's crooked and perverse. Amen? The Lord said, I'll make the crooked path straight. I was on a crooked path. I don't know, were any of you on a crooked path? And he made my path straight. And I know when I get off that path, my GPS, my God positioning system gets all rattled up and says, get back on the path. Get back on the course I have charted for you. He will lead you and guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit is our positioning system, our GPS, our God positioning system. And I'm going to stay close to Jesus. Amen? And he's going to lead me and guide me into all truth. And I'm not going to panic. I'm not going to be upset. I'm not going to be worried. I'm not going to be in fear. I'm going to be in Jesus. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. I'm not going to let my heart be troubled. When the enemy tries to get on me, he tries to get on me a couple times this week and starts overwhelming me with fear. And you know, because he works in the imagination area. He starts to work in your imaginations and he starts to put thoughts in your head and you start looking at all the trouble down the road and you know, all these things that could happen. You know, you get a headache and next thing you know, the devil's telling you got brain cancer. You know, you get an itch on your body and you know, there's all kinds of things that he carries on and goes on. And you just let him. He's sitting there. Well, he's the doctor of death. He's just saying, well, you want to receive this prescription? Because I'll just tag a little bit of fear along with it. And you can go for a nice dark ride for a while. And once you receive it, I'll just take off and move on to somebody else. And you can move along and operate in fear and be bound by fear and oppression and depression. That's what he does. Amen. But Jesus, his words are life. Choose this day whom you're going to serve. Life or death. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Who's speaking to me? Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Who's speaking to me? Is it God or the enemy? Because when you feel that overwhelming fear on you, that's how the devil feels 24/7. When you feel depressed, that's how the devil feels 24/7. But see, I don't feel the way he feels. I feel the way God feels. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen? The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, not short-suffering, long. See, he gives us faith to go through things. Long-suffering. Yeah. Meekness, gentleness. Even through the storms of life, all that fruit can be made manifest. You're just a mobile fruit tree producing fruit. And you know what you're producing is what people are picking off your life. Hello, somebody. Somebody start talking doubt and a believer get right in there with them. Oh, I know, it's so bad, isn't it? Hello. You get right on board with everybody. Get right on board with everybody. I remember when gas, it's getting there again. I remember when gas was 150 to 155 one time. And, you know, at the pumps, everybody would be moaning and groaning. And, man, and I'm pumping the gas. I got right in there, everybody talking, you know. And the Lord said, quit talking like that. Doesn't matter how much it gets to be. I'm your source. I supply. It doesn't matter if it's $10 a liter. I'll pay for it. I'll get you where you need to go. I'm like, well, okay, sorry, Lord. Because I'm just participating with everybody else. Because my God meets all my needs. It doesn't matter what it is. He's going to meet my need. Is he limited by the need? No, he's not. He's never has been either. Hello, he'll take from the world and give to you. When Egypt got delivered from the world, they came out with all their spoil. God gave them what they needed to be sustained as well. And God will meet us, meet our needs. He looks after us. Amen? Not our greeds, our needs, you know. And that's there's a fullness of the time. Amen? And remember, the church is the restraining order on Satan right now. Hello? Yeah. That doesn't mean we can't control people. That doesn't mean you can go around controlling people. He's given us spiritual authority, not human authority. You see, people will do things because you're a free moral. Everybody on earth is a free moral agent. A spiritual free moral agent. They can lend themselves to God or they can lend themselves to the devil or they can just be neutral. Hello? And that's why he says, choose this day whom you're going to serve. Amen? You get around people that are full of doubt and unbelief, and you're going to be full of doubt and unbelief. Hello? I like to hang around people that believe. You know, I don't want, if I got a challenge going, I don't want, you know, say you're Satan's trying to attack you with sickness and you get somebody to lay their hands. If it be thy will. Well, it is his will or he wouldn't have died. He wouldn't have went to Calvary's cross and became sickness for you. Right? You want somebody praying like that over you? You know, no, you don't. You want somebody that believes what Jesus did and they're going to speak the truth of that and agree with you. Amen? Because how can two walk together except they be agreed? When you pray like that, you're not agreeing with God. You're agreeing with the devil because you know that Jesus died. He became sickness so you could become healed. You know that he became sin so you could become a saint. Some days I don't feel like a saint, but I am. I'm serious. Some days I don't feel like a saint, but I am because the Bible says I am. Amen. I don't have to stop and re-accept Jesus, even though I don't feel like a saint. I am. Hello? Some days when I'm fighting off sickness, I don't feel healed, but I am. I am what he says I am. And I've learned how to live a balanced life by speaking what he speaks, not what I feel. You know, because the enemy, you notice when the enemy attacks you, he'll try to get into your psyche realm. I went into the bank one day, and this lady I've dealt with for years. I mean years. She didn't even, it was just like she didn't recognize who I was. She was so bound by fear. Get over there and get your hands cleaned up. And, you know, and I sat there and I said, you're not putting your fear on me. She was in such fear, I don't even think she realized who I was. Every other time I see her, she addressed me by name, very polite. But this day, she was so bound by fear, I don't even think she recognized who I was. You know, because that's what people do. They're so bound by fear. Amen? Hello? Read the Word of God, and you'll be free. Because this is, we're kingdom citizens. Why don't we read the kingdom manual? You want to read the Earth Manual? Watch CNN. Hello? You want to watch the Devil's Manual to live by? Watch CNN. You want to live by God's Manual? Smith Wigglesworth was probably one of the most, he was a father of faith, but he probably had the greatest signs, wonders, and miracles through his whole ministry. He wouldn't even let a newspaper come into his house. The only thing he would read was the Bible. Hey, and when somebody came, yeah, that is how he learned to read. And when someone came to his house and would say, how are you, Smith? He'd go, I'm well. I tell myself I'm well. I am well. I'm having a good day. Amen? I don't ask myself how I am. I tell myself how I am, is what he would say. Amen? Praise God. Now, I'm going to go over a portion of scripture here that ties together with what I've talked about, just kind of putting it in a chronological order for us. We're going to be a couple minutes, but I'm not going to take you too far after lunch because I know you want to beat the Baptist to the Swiss Chalet. Joel 2:28-31, and it shall come to pass, and it did, right? Because Jesus said it would. He's the Word of God. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Think about that for a minute. Remember, Peter could never get it right. Remember when God poured his spirit out upon all flesh? Peter got it right, didn't he? You know, you might not get it right here and there, but God's going to pour his spirit out upon all of our flesh. Amen? And we'll have pinpoint accuracy. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Amen? So there's manifestations of the Holy Spirit when God pours his spirit out upon us. And also upon my servants and upon my handmaids, in those days I will pour out my spirit. And he's talking about the church age. Where did this take place? Where did this take place? In the upper room? Yeah, that's where it took place. This is that, they said, right? That Joel spoke of. The church age in the manifestation of the body of Christ. And then he goes on in verse 30 and says, "And I will show wonders in heaven and in the earth, blood and fire, pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come." Amen? So that's his return. He's talking about his return. And when you read about, the seals being broken and the horses, right? You'll see that the sun, the moon, everything before Jesus' return. And that's after the church is raptured in Revelations 4. Amen? Revelations 4. The church is removed from the earth. And then after that, all these things start to manifest. And it's for, and he says here, "And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke, and the sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord." It'll be great for those who are ready. It'll be terrible for those who aren't. Amen? And that's at the end of the tribulation. This is what's called a twofold prophecy. This is that which Joel prophesied about. They're not drunk as you suppose. Remember, the start of that and the end of it is talking about the day that the Lord returns and touches down on earth at the end of tribulation. Okay? There's twofold prophecies as well. And this was the prophecy of the day of Pentecost when the church was birthed in the upper room in Acts 2, right? And the gifts of the Spirit were manifest during the church age, the body of Christ operating in all the gifts of the Spirit. And you can see that in 1 Corinthians 12, right? The Spirit for all to profit, it says as well, amen? And for young and old as well to operate in the Spirit. Young people can hear from the Spirit. Old people can hear from the Spirit. Hello, women, men, old men, young men. Amen, we can all move in the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit will be on earth until the great and terrible day of the Lord, when the Lord returns to the earth at the end of the 7 years tribulations. "And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire, pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord." Okay? Revelation shows us the great and terrible day is to come. It will be great for those, like I said, who are ready, and it'll be terrible for those who oppose God. And remember, Jesus is seated where? He's at the right hand of the Father. Until what? Until he goes to get the church. And then remember, he goes to open the seals. Okay? And that's during the tribulation period. Different things come upon the earth. And, I'm just going to show you a scripture here. In Revelation 6, 12. "And behold, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth, as hair. The moon became as blood." See, that's after the sixth seal is opened. We are in heaven at this time. "And the stars of heaven fell to the earth." There's going to be meteorites that crash into the earth, my friends. They're online right now. Amen? "Even as the fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled up together, and every mountain and island were moved out of its places." The whole earth is rocking. "And the kings of the earth," okay? Think about this. "And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens of the rocks, and said to the mountains and the rocks, 'Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. for the great day, right? The great and terrible day, right? The great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? Great day for God, God's people. Terrible for what? The kings of the earth. Hello, somebody. Who are what? Setting principles in place through principalities and powers and implementing them that we walk by the principles of this earth that are set in place through the God of this world. Hello? And they're not following God, so who are they following? Why are they running and wanting to hide at the end of it all? Hello? They're rich. They're rulers of the world. You see how the rich and the rulers of the world all get along? Do you ever notice how people will just listen to anybody that has money, they'll listen to anything they say? Hello? For the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand it? Great day, terrible for the kings of the earth, terrible for the great men of the earth, right? Rich men of the earth, the chief captains of the earth. That means the rulers of the earth. I don't know about you, but anytime I wanted to hide from God, I wasn't right with him. My relationship with him. Look at verse 6, 1 and 2. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were a noise of thunder, one of the four beasts crying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow. And a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering to conquer. See, that's after the church is raptured, and that's the enemy. Okay, when the seals are opened, when tribulation starts, this is when the enemy comes on the scene. And it says, and I saw, and behold, a white horse. You see, Satan transforms himself as into what? An angel of light. Light is something you walk by. He's going to make peace after the church is extracted. He's going to perform false signs and lying wonders that people are drawn to him by. And I saw, behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow. Notice there was a bow with no arrows, because all he has is deception. Hello? Amen? And a crown was given unto him. See? And he went forth conquering to conquer. He had all the other nations following him, going out conquering to conquer, but he doesn't conquer. Hello? Amen? Now look at Matthew. I'm just going to close out right here. Look at Matthew 24, which talks about the end times, right? Read Matthew 24. Read Luke 21. It talks all about the end times, okay? And it talks about, remember the appearing and remember the return. And remember what we just read when I read this portion of Scripture to you. Matthew 24, 29 to 30. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be turned darkened, and the moon shall not give light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. They shall see the Son of Man coming in clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And that's after the 7 years of tribulation. That's after. And we are with him when he comes. They're mourning because they're gathered around Israel to attack Israel. Amen? And that's when Armageddon takes place. Amen? I'm just trying to show you some of these things. We're going to move on, you know, because we need to be ready to meet the Lord in the air. And when you read in Revelations, remember where the dragon was, she was attacking the baby that was born, Jesus? Amen? And it said, and it was it gives a brief description of Christ coming, and then Herod attacking through him to try to kill the baby. And then the baby, it says, is caught away. Remember, Jesus is caught up into heaven? That word caught up means raptured. And then what happened? Enoch has already been taken up to be with, was taken up. He walked with God and is no more. Amen. Who was next? Elijah was next. Amen. You know, we can't speculate over who the two witnesses are because it doesn't say who they are. But, you know, they were caught up. Amen. And who was caught up next? Jesus. And who's going to be caught up next? The church. And then there's going to be, you know, there's 144,000 that appear before the throne. And then there's a great multitude which no man could number. And then the two witnesses are caught up before the throne. And all of the earth is watching them be caught up on the phone. Because you can watch, you can see everything now, instantly, online. And they're going to be making merry in the streets of Egypt, or Israel, Jerusalem, where which is called Sodom and Egypt. They're going to be making merry because they're going to prophesy from mid-tribulation all the way to the end. And they're going to be a hindrance to what Satan is trying to do. And they can't kill them. And they have power. But then one day they'll die. But they'll rise on the third day. But they'll be rejoicing and partying in the streets because they shut the voice of God down. Just like Jezebel, remember, she wanted to shut the voice of God down. She tried to kill God's prophets. She killed 100 of God's prophets to shut the voice of God down. What's Satan doing right now through the spirit of Jezebel, through the power of Jezebel, to shut the voice of God down? Amen? And I know I'm just touching on eschatology so you know what's going on right now and where we are right now. We need to be ready to meet the Lord. And that's what I'm going to be preaching on tonight. I'm going to break down some other things that we need to be prepared to meet the Lord. Okay, it's all about being ready to meet the Lord. Aren't you glad God saved you? I weep at times. And, you know, there's been a number of times I've been in my car just rejoicing and thanking God that He didn't let me die in my sin. Because I could have been gone into eternity without Jesus. And there's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. And Jesus went to hell so we don't have to go there. Amen? He wants us to go where He is. And what Jesus gets, we get. He got caught away, we're going to get caught away. He got a new body, we're going to get a new body. He got all of heaven is ours. I'm just quoting what the Bible says. You can say hallelujah. Heaven is our home. We're just pilgrims and strangers. Some of you are stranger than others, but we're pilgrims and strangers. And sometimes we're like Abraham, our father. We wander. We don't know where we're going, but we know who we're going with, and that's faith. Right now, people don't know where they're going, but they know who they're going with, and that's faith. Hey, remember He said to the church of Philadelphia, because you've kept My word and not denied My name, you have little strength. Sometimes you feel weak. But the church of Philadelphia, they were in faith. They didn't deny His name. They kept His word, and it felt like they were weak. But when I am weak, then I am strong. And they were the church that pleased God because they stayed in faith no matter what was going on around about them. Amen? And that's it. Stay the course. Praise God. Amen? Remember, every year at New Year's, I pray and ask the Lord, you know, because you want some profound word for the year. You know? The Lord told me. And lately, every year, the Lord's been telling me, stay the course. Stay the course. And that's all I'm going to do, stay the course. Amen? Because we're faithful to Him. He's faithful to us. Amen? So we're going to look into some other things tonight. You want to be here because these are things that we need to be prepared for. Amen? Prepare to meet the Lord thy God. Amen? Praise God. I pray that everybody watching knows Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus, I pray that this message will scare the hell out of you and that you will get saved in Jesus' name, because that's why God sent His Son to die for you. There's no sin that will take you to hell. The only thing that will take you to hell is rejecting the antidote for sin, and that is Jesus Christ and His work for you and all mankind at Calvary's cross. So we don't have to. We can be reconciled to God in a relationship with Him. So I pray that you be reconciled to God, that you surrender your life to Jesus. Ask Him to forgive you of your sin. Ask Him to cleanse you with His blood. Ask the Father to be reconciled to the Father through Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit will come into your life, and you will have a new partner in life, and you will reign. You will rule and reign in life through one Christ Jesus. You will have a guide. He will lead you and guide you into all truth, and you will know that you are saved in your inner man. In Jesus' name, be blessed. We love you, and thank you for watching. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Praise God. God is good. Now, some of you might have to go over those scriptures and that. You know, there's more stuff. It all ties together. And the book of Revelations, when you read the book of Revelations, you know, you got to remember it's historical, it's present tense, future tense, and past tense. You know, and it ties into Daniel, and there's, you know, there's a lot there, but you're blessed every time you read it, because it says you'll be blessed in Revelation 1 when you read it. It's a revelation of Jesus, the Word of God, and the plan of God. Amen? And so when you read it, we're preparing to meet the Lord. Amen? And we're not going to be of those that don't understand. We're going to understand the times. Amen? And so I bless you. If anyone needs prayer for anything, we want to pray for you. And we love you and bless you. And share Jesus with your friends. Amen? You're saved. Amen? And the people that maybe you're praying for, maybe you visit them. Maybe share Jesus with them. Why are they on your heart? You know, we need to do the work of an evangelist as well. We need to share Christ with people. God bless you. God keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you in Jesus' name. Amen.